Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Look at somebody and say, God is in this place. You can be seated. Whew. Don't you love Daylisha? We're going to hog tie her, keep her here. But she has been off doing an internship, and we're so excited about that. And the church has been blessed. We've been able to partner with her financially in this endeavor. We believe in what she's doing. We believe that God has called her to do this, and so we're going to help out any way that we can. And so, having said that, I just want to commend you this morning for your faithfulness in giving. In February, we will be having our church family business meeting. We like to call them family meetings, and so you'll be hearing more about that. We're going to be able to share with you all that we were able to do in 2018, and I can tell you, it has been amazing. It was an amazing year. The mission, the money that went out of this church to missions is just, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. And so I'm very proud of you for being faithful in your giving. Can you give yourselves a hand this morning? So we're going to continue a message entitled Words. Somebody say words. Last week we talked about words that heal. And we start with our verse this morning. I like to think of this almost as like a power verse for the month. It's Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the what? In the power of the tongue. And all those who love it will eat its fruit. I want you to say that with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless this word. I pray that it will speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Can you give the worship team a hand this morning? So we're talking about how words have power in our life. And so we've got to be mindful of how we are using our words. The scripture said that power of life and death are found in the tongue. And so whenever we're talking, whenever we're using our words, we have to be careful. How many of you have ever heard the saying, be careful what you wish for? And so can I tell you this morning, we need to be careful what we wish for, but we need to be very careful of what we speak. Because whatever we speak may just come to pass. And so we have to be careful with that. So we talked about words that heal. Today, we're going to talk about words that kill. Last week, we talked about words that heal. This week, we're talking about words that kill. And so Proverbs 12:18 says this. We're going to jump in real fast because there's a couple of things that I want to spend time on in this message this morning. It says in 12:18 of Proverbs, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So it says there's one who speaks rashly. How many of you know someone that speaks rashly? There's a couple of businesses in town that I'm not going to mention this morning, but the customer service is not their high point. How many's ever been there, right? There are some of you that you have pictures and faces coming to mind, and I don't mean to do that to you this morning, but there are some businesses that I don't go to anymore, places that I really like to eat that I don't go to anymore because the customer service is horrible, all right? How many of you know when you go somewhere and maybe you take your wife somewhere to eat or your spouse, you take them out to eat and you go eat, you want a friendly, nice atmosphere that's pleasant. You want somebody to just walk in and say, hey, how are you doing today? You know, that's why I love Chick-fil-A, right? Hey, welcome to Chick-fil-A, all right? Is there anything I can give for you? Look, people don't even get paid to wait tables and they wait tables. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so, you know, it's just, how many know friendly words are very powerful? Kind words are very powerful. But rash words can stir up all kinds of things. In fact, the Bible's calling it like this. It's like a thrust of the sword. How many of you ever walked into a situation and somebody opens their mouth and it feels like somebody just thrust a sword in your gut? Sucks all the life out of the room, brings everybody down. Listen, that is because words are powerful and words can heal, but words can also kill. How many of you know somebody that's really good at killing the mood? Don't look around. Now, I'm looking at everybody, right? Now, I'm looking at everybody. I'm not singling anybody out. But I know people who with their words can kill the mood. I can be in a great mood, happy, excited about the things of God, and the wrong person comes in at the wrong time and kills it all like that. Right? And so that's why the Bible says we got to guard our hearts, because we got swords flying around everywhere. Right? So we know that words hurt. Somebody say words hurt. Now, this is somewhat of a hard message, but we're going to put a little sugar with it, make the medicine go down, right? Words hurt. And so some of you have heard the phrase, sticks and stones can break your bones, but what? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words. Man, what a lie from the devil. I would rather be punched in the face than somebody be talking behind my back and shoving a knife in there and twisting it around, right? Words hurt, and words are very powerful. But go to that next one. This is what it really should say. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words can forever hurt you. Sticks and stones could break your bones, but words can forever hurt you. And can I tell you, it's hurts that will last. Hurts from words, can we call them word hurts this morning? Will last. There are people all over our city this morning that are sitting at home because they went to a church somewhere and were forever hurt by the words, listen to this, of God's people. There are people sitting in homes today because they went into a church. I was told not long ago about a couple that went to a church in our city. They went to a church in our city, and they were asked to leave because they were the wrong color of skin. They were asked to leave. And so, I don't know all the details of it, but that's hurts that last. I'm thankful that we are Unity Church, and it doesn't matter what color your skin is or how thick your pocketbook is, you have found a place in the kingdom of God. Can somebody give God praise? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will forever hurt you. Can I tell you this, that we will be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. That is Bible, my friends. We will be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. That's a scary thought. Can I tell you that also word hurts are hurts that go deep? They go deep. Not only do they hurt, but they hurt deep. Do you know that words are the only things that can penetrate straight to the soul? The word says it like this, that his word is like a double-edged sword. It can even separate bone and marrow. Words are very powerful. They have the power of life and death, and we are held accountable for every word that we're saying. There are hurts that go very deep. In fact, Psalm 64:3 says this, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their bitter words like arrows. They sharpen their tongues like swords and they aim their bitter words like arrows. This is the words of the wicked. But I want to declare to you this morning that we as the children of God must be very careful how we are presenting the gospel to people, that we are not aiming to hurt somebody, but we're aiming to help somebody. I've seen people, and you've heard me tell the story of my roommate who went witnessing on the streets of New Orleans, and he came to a corner, and there was a prostitute there, and he looked at her, and she said, "Ma'am, I hope you know that you are going straight to hell." And she knocked him cold out on the concrete. Man, you don't mess with a prostitute on the corner of New Orleans. They know how to take care of business, right? In more than one way. And so, okay. Not that I would know. Good gracious. I saw eyes get this big. Be careful, man. She knocked him cold out. Right hook. Bam! On the ground. When he came to, he said, "You know what? I need a better witnessing strategy." I want to contrast that with when I went to the Dream Center in Los Angeles, and we went out ministering to prostitutes at night. And what we did is we took several dozen roses, and we took them as a group to the prostitutes on the streets of Los Angeles. And we told them that, "Hey, I know that no one has showed you true love, but we want to do that tonight because there's a Father in heaven who cares about you and loves you and wants his best for you. And you have a place in the kingdom of God. And you don't have to live like this. God has a better way. And we want to offer you a better way. We would like to take you to the Dream Center where they will give you a home and shelter and clothes and food. And they will protect you. They have armed guards standing 24 hours a day, making sure the pimps won't get to you. And you'll be safe there. And we're going to make sure that you experience all that God has for you. Here's some roses we just want to bless you with. And let them be a reminder that there is a God who loves you." Amen. How many of you know there's words that heal and there's words that kill? I want to use words that heal. Can somebody say amen? So what we've got to do, and it's not easy, is we've got to learn how to control this sharpened, double-edged, powerful thing that we have called a tongue. We've got to learn how to control our tongue. James 1:26 says this, "If you claim," now this is, everybody stick your feet under your chairs. If your toes hurt after this, I'm sorry, but mine do too, okay? "If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless." Amen, Pastor. You were doing such a fantastic job this morning. This word is powerful and true, and it's ministering straight to my heart this morning. Thank you, Pastor. You need a raise, brother. Thank you. That was so good, I'm going to read it one more time. "If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless." Now, I went to dinner with a group of folks one time. We had a missionary in town, and I went to, it was people from all different churches, so nobody knows who I'm talking about. I went to dinner with these fine folks, and we were at a restaurant, and we're eating dinner with a missionary, and the people that I was eating with were obnoxiously rude to the waiter. Good, fine, Christian, church-going folks. I'm talking about nasty rude. Gropping them out. Things weren't just right. It was embarrassing. And I made a vow to myself that I would never again step foot in a restaurant with those people. And it's never happened. I'm telling you, it ruined our testimony. Here we are, a bunch of people trying to support a missionary from out of town, and we are being obnoxiously rude to the waiter. It's embarrassing. Listen, folks, we have had some bad experiences at restaurants. My family likes to travel, and we eat out a lot, you know, at different places and cities. And we've had some bad experiences. But you don't know what that waiter's going through that day. And you don't know how many jobs they're putting down to put food on their table. You don't know any of this. You don't know what kind of day they've had. You don't know how many times they've been griped out. And they just weren't paying attention. Well, you don't know what's caused them not to pay attention. We just jump to conclusions that they're deadbeat and they don't deserve any of our money. No, come on. They are providing a service to you. And you are representing, should be, the name of Christ. And we should be treating them with kindness. If you can't control your tongue and you can't keep your tongue from griping people out and cussing people out, listen, then please take Unity Church. Do not wear our shirts. Don't do it. Don't be posting nothing on Facebook. Don't be checking in and tag, because I don't want to be represented by someone who cannot control their tongue. Now, I know it's hard, and I know this is not politically correct this morning, and it is certainly not a way to grow your church, but I want this church to represent the kingdom of God well. People driving around with Christian fish on their car, honking and throwing fingers in traffic. There's something wrong, church. No wonder the world doesn't want anything to do with us. If we're not different, if we don't sound different and talk different, listen, people knew who the disciples were by how they talked. You sound like one of them. The church needs to sound like the gospel. Can I tell you, it's not just the word. How about the tone of your voice? The way we speak to people, our body language, is it representing Christ? Well, because I'm telling you, he wants to win the world with kindness. It is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Okay, I've got to get off of it. I'm glad we already took up the offering today. Praise God. Maybe a quick exit. Proverbs 21:23 says this, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Marriage Counseling 101. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Guys, we just got to learn how to keep the mouth shut. Just zip, right? Zip the lips. Keep your mouth shut. Do I look good in this? You don't have to say. You are not required to say anything. You don't have to say anything. Nothing. Do I talk too much? Mm-mm. Don't open your mouth. Mm-mm. You don't have to say anything. When her lasagna tastes like tuna casserole, Did you like the lasagna tonight? You just don't have to say anything. I'm just saying. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out. In fact, I better shut up right now. Before long, I'm going to hit the spot. All right. Now, can I say that you are what you say? It's truth. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to prove it to you. Matthew 5:15-11 says this, and he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. You are what you say. You may say that you're a Christian, but if you're not talking like a Christian, I challenge that. You may say you're full of faith, but if faith's not coming out of your mouth, I challenge that. Because it's not what goes in. You can sit under my teachings or the teachings of the thousand different TV evangelists that want your money. You can sit under the influence of Bible all day long. I've seen people, Pastor, I read my Bible all day. Man, I've got chapters memorized. Man, I can quote them, but they're cussing like a sailor. Right? You can be taken in as much as you want to. You can be, yeah, taken in. But until you learn to let it out, the way that God wants you to, and until what is coming out of your mouth is pleasing to God, listen, we've got to make sure that we're defining who we are by what's coming out of us. Can somebody say amen? Because the Bible does say it is out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if your heart is filthy, guess what? It's going to spew out eventually. All right. Oh, Lord. Wise people speak when they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. Just giving a little nugget. Wise people speak when they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. How many of you have ever been in a conversation you can't get a word in? Husbands, this is not the time to look at your wife. And vice versa. I've been in conversations where they will not let you get a word in. You know why? Because they've got to say something. If they're saying something, they're validating themselves. And their insecurities are overflowing out of their mouth because they if they have to sit and listen, then they have to be receptive to what other people are thinking and saying, and insecurities are manifested out of their mouth. And so we've got to be careful, because also we've got to be careful that we're not manipulating other people by not giving them the chance to respond to what we're saying. I'm very leery of people who never stop talking. That's why in most counseling sessions, the first thing we do is I sit and listen. Tell me what's going on, right? And we sit and listen. And if I don't have an answer, some of you know this, if I don't have an answer for you, I'm going to say, you know what, I just need some time to pray about that. I need some time to pray and seek God for what the best solution is, because I've been in counseling sessions where people have counseled me and they give me just an answer off the top of their head, but it's not the right answer. I want somebody to wait before they speak. Wise people speak when they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. Proverbs 17:27 says like this, a truly wise person uses few words. A truly wise person uses few words. How many of you have ever said something and you wanted to take it back as soon as it came out of your mouth? And you know, if the Bible had been written today, I think that texting would be included in that. How many of you have ever sent a text, you typed it out, man, maybe in the heat of a moment, and you push send, and before the little status bar ever finishes, you're like trying to get it back. One time I texted Chris Williams, can't wait for our hot date tonight. Boy, did I want to get that text back real quick. It was supposed to go to my wife, obviously. She appreciated it much more than he did. Ann was like, Chris, is there something we need to talk about? No, I'm just kidding. A truly wise person uses few words. Okay, let me move on. I'm just going to read the Bible this morning. I mean, it's going to do a good enough job on its own. Matthew 10:19 says this, too much talk leads to sin. Well, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Man, God has a way of making it plain. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. One thing that I thought about with this is when Pamela and I were dating, we were living in different states. Or actually, when we were engaged, we were living in different states. And so there were several hours between us, and so we had a long-distance relationship. And we were on completely different schedules. Like, I love to go to bed early. I love to go to bed early. Man, I would go to bed. In fact, last night, I think I fell asleep on the couch around 8 o'clock, man. I was just conked out, you know, which Pamela left me home all day with the babies, so I'm just saying. Wore out. I don't know how she does that all the time. And so, but she is a night owl. And so she loves to stay up late. She, in fact, she's not even thinking about bedtime at 8 or 8:30. That hadn't even crossed her mind yet. And so we would get on the phone and talk way past my bedtime. In fact, most of the time I would be asleep and the phone would wake me up. And sometimes I would fall asleep on the phone, right, while I was talking, or actually while she was talking. And I would. Is this true? Yep. In fact, one time I fell asleep while I was talking to her on the phone, and apparently she hung up, and I had a cordless phone that would shut off if it wasn't used for long enough. You know, we didn't have cell phones, and I think we might have had one back then. I don't know. And my dad came in the room one time. It was late. And he said, "Pamela's on the phone." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I've been talking to her for a long time." And he said, "No, the phone just rang. And Pamela's on the phone." And I had fallen asleep on the phone. The phone had rang. I never even heard it. My dad answered the phone and was like, "Would you please answer the phone? Pamela's on the phone." And so I had fallen asleep. She hung up. I guess I continued my nap. And then she called me back. But the point is we would talk late at night. And I have found if you take late at night to have deep conversations, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. You will find yourself agreeing to things that you would have never agreed to. You will find yourself, hey, can I tell you that 90% of our arguments and fights happen late at night? Even after we got married, we found out if we talked about things or if we had something that we needed to talk out, if we did it late at night, it would almost always end up in a fight. And so what I found is that I don't have the mental capacity to talk about things late at night. So we made an agreement that we would not talk about anything deep late at night. And do you know that that solved almost every problem that we've had in marriage? A simple thing like that. We don't talk about we have two. We don't talk about things late at night, and we don't talk about things when Pamela's hungry. Because she bypasses hungry and goes straight to hangry, right? And so we have to be careful. And I've had to learn how to keep my mouth shut. I'm being very serious. I've had to learn. My opinion doesn't always matter. I want everybody to repeat this after me. My opinion does not always matter. One more time. Now, this is just big marriage counseling and social counseling and career counseling all in one, okay? So it's all free for you this morning because it wasn't even in my notes. I want you to repeat after me. I am not always right. I want you to look at somebody and say, "You are not always right." If we can really grasp that we're not always right, our opinion does not always matter. I'm thankful that God does not set the course of history based on my opinion. We've got churches full of people who their opinion is we should be sitting on pews and reading out of hymnals and quietly worshiping God. And then we have churches that think if there's a hymnal in the building that we're all stuck in dry dead religion. It's opinions. I don't know if we're going to read out of hymnals or sing spontaneous worship in heaven. I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. The point is that we're worshiping God. Now, that applies to the church, but apply that to your workplace, your home. And if we can really grasp that it doesn't always have to be my way, and sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut in Jesus' name. All right. Proverbs 10:19, and we're going to end because I know you can't take much of this. Honestly, when I was typing, I was like, "All right, God, that's enough. That's enough. We can close that well right here." So worship team, if you'll go ahead and come. We're going to put some sugar down here in just a second. Proverbs 10:19, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because I love this in Proverbs. It says, "If you keep talking," Let this be a warning to you this morning. If you keep talking, it won't be long before you're saying something really wrong. Prove you're wise from the very start. Just bite your tongue and be strong. I love that. If you keep talking, it won't be long before you're saying something really wrong. I've proven that over and over again. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I've proven that over and over again. If I would have just stopped about 5 minutes ago, I would have been doing good. Right? Prove that you're wise from the very start. Just bite your tongue and be strong. One of the most profound statements that I can ever give you as a pastor is learn to bite your tongue. Learn to bite it, man. I would rather have a sore tongue and a sore ego than open my mouth and say something that's really stupid that I'm going to have to pay for over and over and over again, because words hurt. Words kill potential. Words kill destiny. And words create wounds that are very deep, that are very sore. How many of you, somebody has spoken something to you and the hurt has lasted so long and it's rooted so deep in your heart that whenever somebody can just pop off and say something and it like rips that wound right open because it hasn't properly healed. I know a guy that when we were in Florida, he was very talented at singing. But what he tried singing when he was a young kid, he tried singing at his church. And somebody told him he needed to stick to something else because he couldn't sing worth a flip. Right? Now he's a grown man, very talented at singing, but he will not sing because he's afraid of what the church people are going to say. He's not using his giftings and talents for the Lord because somebody hurt him very deeply as a child. That applies to so many people. And I guarantee you it applies to somebody in this room, because somebody has said something to you and created a wound in your life that needs to heal. Because God wants to use you. The Bible says that you are highly favored of God, a special prized possession of the Most High. That's who you are. You're a chosen people, a holy priesthood, a royal nation. These are the things that God says about you this morning. And God has created you for a purpose, and He has created you for a reason. But because of things that people may have said to you or about you in your past, you are not fulfilling your potential. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is wanting to heal the places in your heart that are causing you pain because of what someone has said to you or about you. Can somebody stand up and give God praise for that this morning? Come on, God's wanting to heal you this morning.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.